For the mortal shall put on immortality, and corruption shall put on incorruption. And it shall come to pass that which was written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We will be worshiping in the presence of Almighty God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Dr. Raphael Thomas will bring the concluding part of this message begun last week. In the part aired last week, Dr. Thomas began to explain the meaning of seven principal figures in the tribulation listed in Revelation chapters 12 and 13. We heard about the woman, we heard about the dragon, and we heard about the child. This evening, we invite you to turn again to those chapters and follow along as Dr. Thomas picks up the second part of his message entitled, Who's Who in the End Times Drama. Here again is Dr. Thomas.
Let us look at the fourth player in this scene. 7-12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. So we see Michael coming into focus here. Michael is an archangel, we are told in Jude 9. Also in Daniel 12, 1, we see that Michael has a special assignment for the nation of Israel. So what Michael did, along with the host of heaven, is to make heaven off limits to Satan. No longer will Satan be allowed to occupy heavenly spaces. He was cast out of heaven. He was cast down to the earth. You see, Satan is already a defeated foe. And we have been saying one of the privileges we have is that we know the end of the story. God has given us the privilege to take a peep at the scorecard. You know, sometimes when you go to watch a game and the game is going on, you don't know who will turn out to be the winner. Well, in this last days, end times drama, we already know the end of the story. We know the players, and we know that they are not equal players. They do not all have the same credentials. We know that there is a winner, and we know who is the winner man. Jesus already unveiled for us the end of the story. So even as we read, we can rejoice that Jesus Christ has already won the victory. This is no game of chance. History has already been decided. The victory has already been won. And so we ask the question, whose side are you on? The song says, it is so wonderful to be on the Lord's side. I want to ask somebody today, are you on the Lord's side? Is it clear to others who are watching you whose side you are playing on? The story is told of this woman who was not able to hear or to talk, but she would turn up at church every Sunday. And then somebody asked her, why is it that you keep coming when you cannot talk and you cannot hear? And she just wrote a note to show on whose side I am on. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king when others look around? do they have to question you? On whose side are you on? On Sundays, when we put on our church clothes and we come to church, they might assume that we are on the Lord's side. But from Monday to Saturday, are they still convinced that you are on the Lord's side? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and they were cast out of heaven, and a third of the heavenly host went with Satan. So even with that, we can still say greater are they who are with us than they who are against us. And the fact that Jesus is with us, we can say greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We don't need to fear the onslaught of the enemy. We don't need to fear the conflict. Someone says, fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the Lord's own army, none can overthrow. So Michael cast that dragon out, and he was cast down to the earth. Let us rush on to chapter 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. And we have to be condensing as we go along. But this is not condensed milk. This is condensed, concentrated stuff. So it might take a little time to unravel later when you reread. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. So we have been saying this is now the beast coming up out of the sea, and in Revelation 13 we have two beasts coming up. The first one comes up out of the sea. The second one will come up out of the land. The seven-headed beast may be a reference to Gentile world power as it relates to Israel in the end times. The heads are identified both as mountains and as rulers, Revelation 17, 9 and 10. In biblical imagery, a mountain is often a metaphor for a kingdom, as we have been saying. So the kingdoms, if we look at the seven kingdoms, number one, Egypt, number two, Assyria, number three, Babylon, number four, the Greece, number five, Persia, number six, Rome. And when John was writing, he says one is and one is yet to come. So the sixth one is gone. And as we look at Daniel's dream, his 70th week is set in that last 7-year period. Now there is a gap in history that is not covered in prophecy, but we have the last 7 years that the scripture speaks about. So this in-between period, the church age, we don't see much in prophecy. But we know that these seven world powers will rule. Rome is already passed, and the last one will be the revived Roman Empire, because the last kingdom will, if you look at the image of that beast, or the image in Daniel's dream, it goes down to the 2 feet and the 10 toes. It's made of the same material, going down, and will be Rome, but in a revived form. Now, this is also an indication of the ruler who will rule that last kingdom, called the Antichrist. So, the notes in the New King James Bible tells us that it can be a reference to the world power itself, but also a reference to the ruler of that world power called the Antichrist. Now, it's interesting to note that three times in the scripture we have the word Antichrist. And they are written by John in 1 John. There are many other names which are used for this person. Psalm 10, 2 to 4, the wicked one. Daniel 7, 8, the little horn. Daniel 9, 26, prince who is to come. Daniel 11, 21, despicable person. Daniel 11, 36, willful king. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, man of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, son of destruction. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, lawless one. 1 John 2, 22, Antichrist. And Revelation 13, 1, the beast. Referred to as different names, but described as the Antichrist. Now, the word anti means against. But he is going to try to fight against the real Christ by pretending to be the Christ. So it's going to be a pretense. That is the strategy that he is using to fight against Christ and to oppose his plans. He's going to pretend to be the Christ. The Bible says, let's read about this Antichrist. Seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. He has a name that blasphemes the name of God. We are told he blasphemes the God and the tabernacle. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Very swift. He will come to power very quickly. The dragon gave him his power. The power that this Antichrist will have, or this world leader, this emerging leader, will be given directly by Satan. His throne will be given. Satan's throne will be given to him. And he will have great authority. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. This will convince the world that this is a great and a mighty man. This is the Christ. This is a miraculous man. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. So this beast is being empowered by Satan, and people are going to worship Satan because of the power that is given to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking things, speaking great things. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to be so skillful in power as well as in speech. And what will come out of his mouth will be blasphemies. And he was given authority. Now, note, he was given authority. I want us to understand that there will be no authority that he has unless it was given to him. God has Satan on a leash. He is not his own man. He is God's devil. And God will only allow him so far and no further. He was given authority to continue for 42 months. That is equal to time, times and a half. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in the heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. The saints who serve God during this period, whether they are from the Jewish nation or as we see other nations, they are going to be martyred. So, because this beast is given authority to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So this is going to be a global leader. He's going to rule the world. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. But it goes on to explain those who will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those names who have been written in the book of life will not worship him. It goes on to say, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So that's a synopsis of the career or the activity of the Antichrist. Now there is another beast coming up out of the earth. Verse 11. The Bible says, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. This is the only place in the book of Revelation where the word lamb does not refer to Christ. This is a reference to the false prophet. Now, just like there is the Holy Trinity, there is also the unholy Trinity, made up of the dragon, who is Satan, the beast, who is the Antichrist, or one of the beasts, who is the Antichrist, and the other beast, who is the false prophet. And so let's hear about the false prophet. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So the sign that the Antichrist will do, and the signs that the false prophets will do, will convince people in the last days there is going to be a spirit of delusion over the earth. People are going to be deceived by the intensity of the power of the dragon. And people are going to be deceived to believe that the Antichrist is the real Christ, that he has come to establish peace in the earth. So the beast here, the false prophet in verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. See, there are some who are looking for signs. Be careful what sign you look for, because Satan can give you a sign. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And listen to this in verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So that sounds like a miraculous activity taking place there. An image was given life. He causes all, both small and rich and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. The currency that is going to be used under his government, the government of the Antichrist, is not dollars and cents. It's not even credit cards. It is going to be the mark of the beast, a mark in the forehead or on the hand. Now, John Hagee says that he is not too worried about the exact identity of the Antichrist, because he's not going to be around when all this is happening. The mark of the beast is something that causes people to become terrified and wonder if we are deceived into taking this mark of the beast by taking the vaccine. Well, I cannot give you the medical advice about vaccine, but from a biblical perspective, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. The technology may be preparing us for the mark of the beast, but this is not it. Because when the Antichrist is revealed and the mark of the beast comes into effect, the church will be on the other side. For the mortal shall put on immortality, and corruption shall put on incorruption. And it shall come to pass that which was written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We will be worshiping in the presence of Almighty God. The Bible tells us no one will be able to buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, a number, his number 666. Many have calculated and are still calculating. But the things which are not revealed, the secret things belongs to God. The things which are revealed belong to us. We know enough. In spite of what we don't know, we know enough. As the Bible says, he who has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Whose side are you on? Are you ready to meet the Lord? We see some of the key players, but they are not all equal in the game. And it is not a game of chance. God has already shown us the scorecard. The Bible tells us in Revelation 19, 19 and 20, that Antichrist and the beast, along with the dragon, will be cast into the lake of fire, to the bottomless pit, will be defeated. And Pastor Grant will tell us about that final war, will bring history to a close.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.